From John chapter 6, verses 60 through 71, and we will read responsibly. John chapter 6, verse 60 through 71. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew him in himself that his disciples murmured, as it is said unto them, "Does this offend you? What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should be, and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore say I unto you, that no man can come up unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe that are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" And he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this morning's message that you spoke to our hearts in the area of bitterness and getting our lives in tune and in harmony with you. We thank you that we heard from heaven, Lord. And we pray tonight, Lord, that as we gather here today, you speak to us again through our preacher. Be with him tonight. Be with this message. And Father, give us hearts that are surrendered to your will. Oh, Heavenly Father, preaching is meant to challenge the heart. Lord, help us tonight to have nothing that would hold us back from, Lord, growing closer and walking closer every day with you. We pray, Lord Jesus, that now you prepare us, you mold us more into the image of your Son through the preaching and the challenge. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before I get right into it, I wanted to give an opportunity. Anybody have a good word for the Lord before I give my good word for the Lord? Amen. Anybody? Yes, Garrett. Well, praise the Lord. That was a substitute teacher?
Yeah, we had a substitute teacher, a kid in my class.
Right. Wow. Well, praise the Lord. That's good to hear. Amen. Kids getting saved in the public school, it can be done. Amen. Anybody else? Brother Robles. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yes, we'll be praying for you, brother. Amen. Anybody else? Yes, Deb? Amen. Amen. Good. Amen. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Marcus. You can tell God's got a hold of this kid's life. just by the testimony of the teenagers on the bus. The other day, he came up, last Sunday, he came up and sat next to me and said, "Would you read the Bible to me?" So that was awesome in itself. I was over at another teenager's by his house on Thursday, and he came up running to me and pulled up his package. He said, "Look, Brother Ron, look, Brother Ron. I got this new shirt, the other shirt with a tie and one of the dress ties."
Oh, bless his heart.
This morning, dressed up in a shirt and tie. Just before he did that, the neighborhood he lives in is filled with gang members.
Yeah.
And the kids that could have got a hold of him, but God got a hold of him. For right, like he made up.
Amen. 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 And you know, folks, we have a responsibility to this child. I mean, we really do. I mean, here's a kid that lives in some tough circumstances, really. If you look at where he lives, we have a responsibility to pray for Marcus, be on his doorstep, do everything we can to get him to church. If we drop our guard, let me tell you something, the world will not suffer at all. They'll go after him. And so very, very important. Amen. That's good. That's a bus teenager. Amen? Amen. Anybody else? Yes, Cody? Amen. Amen. It's good. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Amen.
For loving on her.
Yeah.
Keep praying for her. She's not getting as many hours at work as she needs in order to meet her school bill. So she's had a couple of other interviews. So just pray that she can get another job in order to solve what she already has.
Okay. Be praying for her. That's good to hear, though. I'm glad that encouraged her heart. Anybody else? One more. Yes. Okay, we're going to get right into it here. Of course, we read our text a moment ago, and keep that in mind here. My title tonight is found in verse number 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" That's my title. Will ye also go away? By way of introduction, every ministry are going to face their difficult times. There will be highs. There will be lows. There will be times when there will be ups and downs. It's just a given fact of reality. And Jesus was going through a low here in a heartbreaking period, as we read in our text here. And of course, God, let me just start also by way of introduction. God has been very good at the Faith Baptist Church. You know, just viewing the years that from the day she was birthed till now, God really has been very, very good. He has definitely had his hand upon this church, and we ought to thank God for that. In church, I will say this, you know, we will have our ups and downs. We are going through some ups. We are, you know, praise the Lord for the people coming in, the teenagers, the kids, and the excitement and the spirit. that's a good thing. And but you know, I've been in the ministry long enough, and even as an assistant pastor, I used to say when I saw the battles come, I used to say, I don't want that position. I used to say that to preach. I don't want that, you know. But the truth of the matter, but there'll be some lows. But the truth, you know, and this isn't really part of my message, but when the lows do come, and they will, I mean, just little battles, little things like this, ups and downs. Maybe someone might, in our church, might have cancer. Little different things. You know, instead of us being pushed away from it, that ought to draw us closer together. You know, that's very, very, very important. And, of course, I talk a lot about being together and being close and being close to one another and pray for one another and being kind to one another. I talk a lot about that and having a good spirit. But, you know, but every ministry is going to face the difficult times. You see, when John chapter 6 opens, Jesus has over 5,000 people following him. And when the chapter closes, he only has 12 men with him, and one of them weren't even saved. In studying this out, I find that if Jesus is doing anything in this passage, he is issuing a call to commitment, and he realizes that many of these followers are there for what they can get to fulfill their fleshly appetites. If you looked in verse number 26, and we'll read it here, you'll see exactly what these people expected. Of course, they saw a whole lot, but verse number 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." You know what? Their fleshly appetites were fulfilled. And you'll see that Jesus is issuing a call to commitment. And of course, these followers were just happy that their appetites, if you will, were fulfilled. Jesus lays it all out here and calls for everyone to follow him and commit to him and him alone. Verses 22 through 59, I'm not going to be able to read every verse here tonight, but you can jot these down. But it clearly indicates that Jesus is literally laying it all out. He's telling the people who he is, what he is, and what he's all about. And he's very clear to these 5,000 that's following him, this is what it's all about. And he's issuing a call of commitment. And tonight, let me just say this, Jesus is doing the same thing. Yes, this is a Bible time, but he's doing the same things. We don't like that word commitment. You know, we don't like to decide to step up and be asked to do anything sometimes. Well, if I do that, I've got to go ahead. If I take a Sunday school class, I've got to study the Bible, okay? Well, amen. You got the word, the precious word of God, you get to study. If I ride the bus, I got to get up early and ride the bus, and you get to put a smile on them little boys and girls' face. You know, but the truth of the matter is tonight, Jesus is calling for the same thing. He's calling for commitment tonight. But Jesus called commitment to these followers has a twofold outcome. He clarifies his call, his mission, and his ministry to all who wants to follow along. He says, "Why don't you just come ahead and follow along?" He's making it very clear. "Why don't you just follow me?" Or plus he's also purging the large group by weeding out those who really mean business about their faith and commitment. And let me tell you something, what a weeding away it was. When you look at the very beginning, you see the 5,000 that were fed and how they hung with him and they followed him. But at the end of the chapter, there's only 12 of them that's sticking by Jesus. As one who reads this passage, we can see that Jesus is clearly stating the truth about himself and his ministry. In this passage, God allows us to view the thousands of people who turn their backs on an almighty Christ and walk away. And of course, at the end of this chapter here, it says, "Will ye also walk away?" When the 5,000, when the thousands, if you will, left, he asked his 12, "Will ye also walk away?" Hey, church, I'm asking you tonight, will ye also walk away? When you're called to some commitment and God does something on your heart, are you going to walk to him or are you going to walk away from him? Are you going to walk to truth or are you going to walk away from truth? Are you going to walk to the word of God or are you going to walk away from the word of God? And that is what is happening here. After the crowds leave in verse 66, Jesus turns to his 12 disciples and asks them to make a personal commitment as well. And I can see his disciples standing there the 12. They're seeing moments to go just before this. There were thousands around them. There are thousands right beside them. And when Jesus issues a call, what they thought, what the disciples thought were loyal followers of Christ, Jesus goes ahead and he sets out the line, if you will. He makes gives the ultimatum. And they one by one, these Jews, one by one, a few here and a few there, saw the crowd dwindle. Maybe some were scratching their heads. Should I go or should I stay? And but no matter what, at the end of the day, there are only 12 that were standing with Jesus. Boy, that's a sad commentary when you think about it. And that just goes to show that we are a minority. It doesn't matter. Even today, we are a minority. We are a minority. But the only 12 disciples were the ones left standing. I can almost see the tears when Jesus watching the droves of people just going away one by one, a few here, maybe a few just wondering, what should I do? And I could just see the tears, if you will, and maybe the heartache, and maybe Jesus being choked up, asking his disciples and looking to them, will ye also follow them? Will ye also walk away? You know, truth of the matter is nobody likes rejection. You know, and even Jesus, who is subject to like passions as we was, you know, he was in human form here, okay, at this particular moment. He was the God-man. You know, no doubt he was hurting at this time. You know, I think I would have been too. You know, here was the 5,000. Boy, God worked miracles in their lives. They saw the goodness of God, but they're only there for one thing, to fulfill their flesh. And when Jesus went ahead and issued the call, they scratched their heads and said, hey, I don't want to go ahead and step up to them kind of demands. You know, I don't want to go ahead. I want to expect it. I was here for the experience, not to have you expect something from me. And of course, by the thousands, they just walked away. And he says to his disciples, what are you going to do? Will ye also walk away? I want to say that we live in an hour when many are walking away from the same things, walking away from the things of the Lord. They turn away from the Word. They turn away from the standards. They turn away from the old-fashioned way. They turn away from the old-fashioned music. They turn away from the Word of God. And we're living in a day that people are just turning away from the things of the Lord. I've been in the ministry long enough to see people literally turn away from the Lord and His will, and yet I'm not surprised. Because the Bible says, the Bible predicts that it would happen near the last days. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. 2 Timothy 3:5, as we approach the end times, the Bible says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Let me tell you something, that's exactly what we're living in today. We don't have, you know, it's too bad, you know, and I'd read about these great revivals of Dwight L. Moody and Charles Finney and John Wesley and so forth, and you couldn't even go ahead and church houses were packed, auditoriums were packed out, people wanted to hear the Word of God, but today, it's all about entertainment. Today, it's all about fulfilling their flesh. Today, they'd rather have the sports world. They'd rather have the Hollywood crowd. They'd rather have all of that. And so many people today, even the Christians, will ye also walk away? No wonder the disciples even thought in this time that they lived, that the end times were probably near, simply because they experienced people having a form of godliness, but they turned away. Yet we see it happening all around us today. Question, will ye also walk away? Hey, I'm asking you, teenager, will you also walk away? Hey, church member, will you also walk or go away? But let me just say this, not everyone walks away. We see it here in our passage, not everyone walks away. Oh, thousands did, but I thank God that there was a minority. There were 12 men. Yeah, one wasn't saved, but there were at least 11 men that had it in their heart. Hey, Jesus, I'm going to stick by you. No matter what, no matter if they want to change the King James Bible, I'm going to stick by you, God. I'm going to stick by the old Psalms. I'm going to stick by the preaching of the Word of God. I'm going to stick by so many. I thank God for the 11 or 12 even here that stood with Jesus. And let me tell you something, we are a minority, but I'm going to stick with Jesus. Amen. This passage sheds much light on what is happening today. I see in this text as to why people make the choices they make concerning the Lord, the decisions they make concerning the Lord. I see it. It's so clear right here. And this evening, allow me to share a few of these insights that I found in this chapter as we consider the title, Will You Also Go Away? Number one, not everyone can handle the truth. If you read the verses, and I'll read a few here, verses number 60 through 66, we read it a while ago. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Now, Jesus, hey, he laid out the ultimatum. He told them, hey, this is who I am. This is what we're all about. This is what I am. He was issuing a call of commitment. Now they say, this is a hard saying. They're scratching their head. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, they were grumbling and complaining, if you will. He said unto them, doth this offend you? You know, the truth will offend. You know, that's why people have a hard time with this kind of preaching, because it offends, and I just can't take it, so I'm just going to go ahead and waddle my way home. The truth of the matter is, the truth will offend. Okay? You know, the Bible will offend. It offends me. I'm a preacher of the gospel, it offends me, and let me tell you something, I'll get reading and say, God, I don't like that, but it's truth. And instead of pushing it away, instead of watering it down with like the NIV crowd and all that, you know what? I'm just going to stick with the truth. I'm going to let it convict me because I want to be changed. I want God to change me. I want to draw closer to God. But doth this offend you? You know, these Jews that were there, they were scratching their head. They were kind of pondering, what should I do here? Who could hear it? You know, they were convicted, if you will. And doth this offend you? What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. I'll say that again. I like that. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You know what? We have life in the Word of God tonight. You know, we have a living Word of God tonight. But, verse number 64, but there was some of you that believed not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. What a sad statement. You know, they were so convicted by the preaching, if you will, of Jesus. They were convicted, and they got scratching their head, and they were pondering, just like the world does today. They're kind of on this line. Oh, should I go with the NIV, or should I stick with that Bible-believing, independent, temperamental Baptist? Should I go this way, or should I go this way? Should I drop my standards? Should I do this? Should I do right, or whatever the case may be? And so many people are pondering, and unfortunately, there are people that just don't have enough grit to stand with the truth. Because it offends. Not everyone can handle the truth. Why is it that some walk away from the Lord? Not everyone can handle the truth. We see a pointed account course of Jesus talking to them. The people murmured and complained about what Jesus was saying. Doth this offend you? He just got done telling them who he was, and they couldn't handle the truth. These people wanted to make him king back in verse number 15. If you go ahead and look back in verse 15, these same people walked away from him. They said, and when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed into a mountain himself alone. You know what? They wanted to go ahead and make him king. Simply because after he fed them and sat, because they were satisfied fleshly and so forth. Verse number 26 through 65, what a turnaround. Jesus clarified some things in his sermon to them, and you find that they want nothing to do with him. You know what? When their flesh was satisfied, they said, "Hey, he's my friend." You know, when their needs were met, "Hey, he's my friend. Hey, I want to follow that guy." But when he goes and issues the call, the commandment, when he issues to say, "Hey, let's take a stand for the King James. Hey, let's go ahead and stand for truth. Hey, let's go ahead and stand for some standards. Hey, let's go ahead and stand. You know what? Hey, oh, you know, I don't think I can do that. Oh, that's just too much. I think I'm going to go this way." And let me tell you something. That way will lead to being miserable, by the way. You know, because the truth will set you free, by the way. Why the big change in attitude? Because Jesus told them the truth. Truth is not always popular. You know, I remember early in my ministry, I was asked, I was a younger man, maybe even a little more foolish than I am now. But early in my ministry, I preached at a liberal Baptist church. Just liberal. And I got up and I preached the way I preach. That's just the way it is. I mean, think I'm a little more seasoned now maybe, but But maybe not. But the truth, man, I just preached Sunday morning. It's probably not your typical Sunday morning message, but hey, I had a shot, so I preached. And I was told, because the pastor was gone, he was gone on vacation, and I was told that after it happened, after I preached, I was told I'll never fill that pulpit again.
Amen.
A group of men, actually it was a few ladies involved. Preacher, we can't have him preach behind your pulpit again. I've been also, that's just an illustration. You know what? Why? Because they couldn't handle the truth. Back a couple months ago, my first few weeks I was here, Brother Ron and I was visiting over in Middleboro. Boy, I know this will go all over the internet, but boy, that's a mean town. if you're from Middleboro, don't get me wrong. If you're from Middleboro, I love you. And boy, you are, you, and to know that you're from Middleboro and you're redeemed, God, that's, wow. That's amazing. We went into this, what I thought, hey, this is going to be great. It's an easy housing complex and so forth. And we didn't go ahead and knock on two or three doors until the lady, you know, well, you can't be doing that here. You're going to offend some people. Basically, in other words, you remember that, Brother Ron? You know, they basically kicked us off. You know, there's nothing worse than being kicked off by a gal. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. You can say what you want, ladies, and I'm going to get myself in trouble. I have before. But, you know, it's one thing. I mean, come on. You know, guy, if it's a guy, at least we can have a fair fight. You know what I mean? But, you know, and then also I just got to explain, you know, why? Because they didn't want the truth spread. Back couple years ago, I was in Maine, and we went into an apartment complex, which we visit often. It's a huge, called Tall Pine, a huge, huge area that we, many, many apartments, nice complex to go visiting and try to reach kids and some lower class folks, if you will, for the bus ministry. And I took our bus in there and started dispersing all my teens. I had several teenagers dispersing my teens. And then one of the guys, okay, this was a guy, so we had a fair fight here. But one of the guys came on over and said, you know what, you can't go ahead and be doing what you're doing here. I said, hey, sir, listen to me. I said, I've been coming through here many, you know, you cannot go. And he was very forceful. I said, I wasn't going to cause a stink. I want to keep a good testimony for our church, and that's the right thing to do. So I said, okay, all right. I gathered all the teens, and we went another area. Now, I did go back since, all right? It just happened to be one of them days. The guy came out, whatever, and you can't be doing this. But what I'm trying to say, you know what? The world doesn't want to hear the truth. The world doesn't want to hear the truth. Now, does that mean that we go ahead and quit? No. You know, does that mean if you are literally kicked off a house and if your door knocking, does that mean you quit? No, we just go to the next door because there's somebody that wants to hear it. Back, I'm giving a couple of illustrations, I know, but I remember, and I'll never forget this, never ever forget this. I just got back from college, graduated, joined the staff of Calvary Baptist there, and I had a man with me, a man in our church. We'd go soul winning every Thursday night. And we'd alternate different towns. We were in Turner one night, then we'd go to his town every other week. But anyways, and we were in Turner. Turner is a lot like Carver, to be honest with you. And I knocked on a door, and a little girl, it was this time of year, it was darker earlier, but I remember knocking on a door, and a little girl, just cute as a button, came and answered. And I said, hey, is your dad home? Dad, mom or dad home? Yeah. And my dad, and the dad, if you will, came up to the door, saw me dressed up and my partner and so forth, and that little girl was standing there. You know, and he knew who we were, I guess, and I couldn't even get a word in edgewise. He says, get. He literally kicked me off his property. Now, you say, well, preacher, that must discourage you. Yeah, you don't like that. But, you know, I know it discouraged the man that was with me. I said, you know what? There's somebody out there that wants to hear it. But you know, the hard part of that particular illustration, this really, you know, bottom line, this guy didn't want to hear the truth, and we had the truth. But you know, the hard part of that particular story there was that little girl saw all that. That little girl saw the only real lifeline that little girl could have ever had from the Word of God. She saw all that. And she may never, this man may never, but she may never come to know Jesus as Savior. But, you know, why does this happen? Because people don't want to hear the truth. Some people, number one, just can't handle the truth. Jesus told them the truth. Truth is not always popular. And I do understand that truth will and can have a tendency to ruffle some feathers. It just does that. But let me say this. I'm just the type of guy, I just like to hear it straight. I like to hear it straight. You know, I love the best to preach. I love it when people preach and just tell me it straight from the Word of God. And yes, I may sit where you sit, and I've sat under many preachers. I sit where you sit, and I get convicted. And the truth of the matter is, I thank God that my heart is tender enough that when the man of God gets up and preaches, that God, the Holy Spirit, is still speaking to me. You know why? Because the truth is sometimes pretty hard to take. Preacher gets up and maybe gets in your face and steps on your toes. And by the way, you know, we all ought to know better than this. It's a work of the Holy Spirit, not the preacher. He doesn't go around making a list of your sins. Like we have that kind of time. But the Holy Spirit knows. And the truth of the matter is, if you're sitting there and the preacher's preaching and God's got your number, if you will, respond. Do something about it. You know, and yes, it is truthful, and yes, truth does hurt, and it may ruffle your feathers, but instead of going ahead and pointing fingers at the preacher, hey, you know, that's not fair, the preacher knows something. I don't know anything, but Jesus does. God does, and you know, some of you are going to take that a long way. You know, the preacher doesn't know anything. I don't know anything. Amen. I'm glad to see you laughing anyways, but I just like to hear it straight. You know, we're in this political cycle today. You know, I would have more respect for our politicians who shoot straight than to say whatever they need to say to get elected. I don't care who, Democrat, Republican, Independent, I don't care who it is. Just tell me exactly 100% what you believe. Yeah, I'd much rather respect that. I'd respect that a whole lot more, but it seems like whenever they get in their own little environment, you know, it depends if they're in a religious environment, they say whatever it needs to say, they need to say. But if they're outside of that environment and they're on a rally somewhere, they'll say another thing. You just don't know what to believe with these guys. And I'm not trying to down it, you know what, and we have the privilege to vote. I'm going to encourage you, I need to go out and vote. But the truth of the matter is, I just like straight talk. You know, and I'm not promoting, listen to me, I'm not promoting John McCain. I know that is his slogan, but you know what, I just happen to like that kind of talk. And I don't know if he's straight talking or not, and again, I'm not promoting him, but I just like it when they shoot straight. I like it when the preacher shoots straight. I like it when the Sunday school teacher shoots straight. I like it when a mom and dad will go ahead and shoot straight. Hey, what we need leaders who just shoot straight again. Just go ahead and tell it and just not beat around the bush and just shoot straight. Hey, what I'm trying to say is people just can't handle the truth, and I just like it when people just shoot straight. Why change? Why the change in these Jews, though? Because Jesus gave it to them straight. That's what preaching's all about. It's truth, by the way. We don't always like it. We don't, you know, sometimes you feel like your toes are stomped upon and so forth. You may feel like the preacher's after you. He's not. The truth of the matter is, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't preach the way I preach. If I didn't care, I wouldn't preach the way I preach. If I didn't want truth to be spread, I wouldn't go ahead and stand for what I stand for. But the truth of the matter is, preaching will go ahead and it'll ruffle your feathers. And if it does, you ought to do something about it. But you know, Jesus, of course, to these people, notice the claims. He says that in verse number 29, he's the way of salvation. The Jews did not like that. He says in verse number 32, he is the Son of God, my Father, if you will, proving his deity. The Jews did not like that. He is in verse number 35 and 49 through 58, he's superior to Moses and the manna. The Jews did not like that. Salvation is a matter of faith alone. This is what he was saying to them. The Jews did not like that. Verse number 35 through 40 and verse 63. And also he claimed that apart from God's intervention, they could not believe. Verse number 44 and 65. Hey, the Jews did not like that. When they heard the truth, they walked away. And there are only two reactions when you hear the truth. You're either going to accept it or you're going to reject it. Jesus proclaimed the truth. Jesus is the epitome of truth. All Jesus knows is to tell the truth. He is truth. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Real freedom comes from knowing the truth. Why would we want anything other, by the way? Why would we want anything other than the King James Bible, the true word of God, to be spoken behind this pipe? Why would we want anything other? Why would we want any kind of watered-down preacher just gets up and says whatever he has to say just to get a crowd? Why would we want anything other? Hey, we need to give the truth out. Hey, you know what? The truth shall make you free. We live in a day and age where we cringe when truth is revealed. We live in a day where people turn away from truth, which is Jesus Christ. We live in a day where the truth of God lays conviction on our souls and we turn away. And by the way, that's a time that the business needs to be done, is when you feel that conviction. You know why we don't grow? Because we don't move when we feel that tug of the Holy Spirit in our heart. And I hate this term. I don't like this term. It's just status quo. You just want to be a status quo Christian. You know, there's more to salvation than just being saved. God wants you to produce. You know, he talks about it in John chapter 15. He wants us to bear more fruit and more fruit and much fruit. He talks about that. The truth of the matter is he wants us to produce. But when the truth is given, there's two possible reactions. They'll accept or they'll reject. Why would anybody reject the truth? Simply, number one, because they wouldn't. Because some would misunderstand it. Because some misunderstand it. Let's give a few Bible examples. In John chapter 3, I'm not going to turn to it, tells of Nicodemus misunderstood what Jesus was trying to say and thought that Jesus was talking about gynecology when he was talking about the new birth. You know, why would anybody reject the truth? Because some misunderstand it. Here's another example. The woman at the well thought that Jesus was talking about plumbing when he was talking about the water of life, which represented him. Hey, John chapter 5, another example, biblical example, tells of a man at the pool of Bethesda. He misunderstood when he thought Jesus was talking about a rescue mission, when actually Jesus was talking about placing his faith in Jesus Christ. And that same trend continues today. Many people will join a church and have some sort of baptism or some sort of experience or whatever without ever being saved. And that is why the Bible preached can be so offensive, because they have misunderstood the truth, and the result is they simply reject it. They push it away. There are many people under the bondage of sin tonight because they will not allow the truth to set them free. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man, that's the unsaved man, if he will, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can they know him, because they are spiritually discerned. It's no wonder why the woman at the well had a hard time at first, because she was spiritually discerned. She was a natural man. She could not understand. But when Jesus, hey, you know what, but you read them stories, but when Jesus cleared it up, they sweetly got saved. Hey, don't reject the truth. Hey, you know what, why do people reject truth? Because some oppose the truth. The Jews, of course, opposed the truth. The Jews could not accept his deity or his impending death or his claims. The Jews opposed him in every way. And by the way, I wrote this in, so I can't read it. So anyways, but that's what happens today. Hey, listen to me. The word of God and the cross will be offensive. You know, it's no wonder that church houses aren't filled today. The very words of God are opposed. Preaching sets conviction in one's heart, so they remove themselves from the very place that God wants to help develop them to be what they want them to be. It amazes me how people just want to reject the truth more and more and more. People, I'm talking about even good people, they're saved. They know they're for sure on their way to heaven. But the truth of the matter is, when the preaching gets a little bit too tough, you know, where are they today? Even in our own midst, even in our own crowd, even in the Christian world, people that have been saved, will ye also walk away? They misunderstand it. That's why they reject the truth. They oppose it. They're blind to the truth. In studying our passage, I find that the Jews had this approach to Jesus. Show us and we will believe. What more did they want to see? I mean, think about it. They saw the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, feed the 5,000 miraculously. What more did they want to see? They surmised that Jesus had somehow, some way, miraculously crossed the lake. Yet they were blind to who he really was. Let me ask you a question. Tonight, are you really blind to who Jesus really is? So often we reject the truth, and we reject this sort of preaching, we reject the things that God wants to do simply because we're really blind to who God really is and what he really wants to do with you. You know, teenager, he has a purpose and a plan for every single one of you. And the devil do everything he can to go ahead and blind you from Christ. And that's exactly what the devil did. The devil went ahead and blinded these Jews from following Christ. And they went ahead and became indifferent and scratched their head and said, no, I don't want that. I came for an experience. I don't want you to expect me to do something. Hey, let me tell you something, teenager. God has a plan for you. And don't you let smutty-faced devil blind you from it.
Hey there, church member, God has a plan for you. Hey, family, God has a plan for you. And don't you let the devil go ahead and mess up your family and get in there with the Hollywood and the trends of the world. Hey, what I'm trying to say, hey, allow the truth to infiltrate your heart, and you teach it in your kids, and you teach it in your home, and you teach it to yourself, and you get in the Word of God, and you walk with God. Hey, what I'm trying to say, don't walk away from the truth. Don't you walk away from Jesus.
And I've got to get done here in just a moment. Some want the experience. I mentioned, alluded to a moment ago, some want the experience, but not the expectation. These people experienced something great. They saw Jesus do miraculous things. They were following their fleshly appetites were fulfilled. They wanted more of the same, if you will. They wanted Jesus to prove that he was better than Moses. You can read through these verses number 22 through 31. They liked what they saw. You know, it's easy to stay motivated when you enjoy something. You know, they were enjoying, listen, think about this. These Jews, they were enjoying what they saw. Their flesh was fulfilled. This thing always breaks apart on me, and it's not because I'm chucking it, okay?
All right. Okay, forget it right now. Okay, somewhat the experience, but not the expectation. Listen, they liked what they saw. It's easy to stay motivated when you like what you see. But boy, when someone goes ahead and issues a call to commitment, when the preacher gets up and says, hey, we need some more soul winners. Hey, we need some more bus workers. Hey, we need some more workers in the church. Hey, we start going ahead and draw away, if you will. But you know what? But when we hear and when we see the other people going out soul winning and we hear about the good things of God and we see the people saved and so forth, we kind of like that. But when the issue of the call of commitment comes, we say, whoa, well, I'm only here, preacher, for the experience. You know, I like to, you know why I come to church, and some people do, they whatever, if you think it's entertainment, maybe it is entertainment, my preaching, but if you come just to see me run around and sweat and get soaked by sweat and so forth, you know, you came for the wrong reason, by the way. You know, and I'm not up here just for an act. I'm not here for entertainment. I'm here to go ahead and give you the truth. Why? Because I love you, and I want God's best for you, but the truth of the matter is, will ye also walk away? Hey, when the tough times come, in the ministry, what will you do? You know, it's evident, it is very evident through the years, and I admire the stick-to-itiveness of people, that no matter when the ministry went like this, they stood like the Rock of Gibraltar. You know what? They didn't go away. And I thank God because of some people that have a testimony that they didn't go away. They said, I'll stand with a preacher. I'll stand with the truth. I'm going to stand with Faith Baptist Church. I'm going to stand with what God wants me to do. And I'm not going to go ahead and figure out which way the wind's blowing. Go with that. I'm going to stand like a rock, and I'm going to be unmovable. I'm going to be steadfast. I'm going to always abound the work of the Lord here at Faith Baptist Church without wavering. And let me tell you something, folks, if you're like that tonight, you know what? Your testimony speaks volumes. Speaks volumes to me. And I thank you, by the way, for that. I thank you for your testimony. Because you know what? Even at the 8 months or so that I've been here, yeah, you know, sometimes I've had some of these like this. But you know what? Not just the Lord, but I get thinking of some of those that saw. And if they stood, bless God, that motivates me. I can stand too. I can stand too. The winds may blow. The old devil may creep in. And yes, as I mentioned before, our ministry, we've experienced a few ups. Praise the Lord. We'll have a few downs. But instead of when the downs come, you get a little disgruntled, just start murmuring, start complaining. You know, that's the time that we need to pray more. It's time that we need to bind together more. You know, I got thinking, I'm not going to get through all this. I got thinking, what if them Jews had just stuck with it? You know, what if they just said, you know what, and understood what them other 12 knew? Boy, you know what, they could have gone ahead and torn up that world for Christ. They really could have. But because of the fussing and the murmuring and they're offended and, you know, Jesus is preaching that way. And they start whining and complaining. I don't want that. And they walked away. Boy, you know what? They didn't totally understand what they walked away from. They walked away from Jesus. What a privilege. I can't help but think, but what a privilege that must have been to follow Jesus. I mean, you could reach out to him and touch him. Wow, what a bad thing to walk away from. Hey, will you also walk away? I preach hard. I don't apologize for my stand. I think you all know that. I just don't. I'm going to give the truth because I love my people. When we're up here, I'm going to preach. When I'm down here, we're going to preach. We're going to go ahead and stand. But when we're down here, it's easy up here to, yeah, go to church. Yes! It's easy to do it with men. But when we're down here, oh man, the old devil kind of say, you don't want to go there. Oh, look at the troubles they're having. And I'm not saying I see any troubles. Don't get me wrong. But you know what? Reality says they'll come. If anything, I'm just warning us. I'm not asking for them. God, please, you could just hold them back. Let's just keep on keeping on. Amen. But when the troubles do come, will you also walk away? Jesus, he went ahead and issued his call to 5,000 plus people. He said, I want you to commit and follow me. And of course, conviction set in and they turned away. They couldn't, they liked the experience, but they didn't want all the demands that went along with it. They murmured, they complained, they fussed, they got upset. And they scratched their head, few by few. The disciples, the 12 disciples were left standing. And I can imagine when Jesus watched the droves of people, one by one, few by few, group by group, people wondering, should I stay or go? But they actually go. I can imagine Jesus being choked up. And looking at the 12 that he called personally and says, what are you going to do? Will ye also go away? And I with Peter. And the disciples saw this, by the way. I can imagine they were pretty discouraged too. But let me just say this. When we're here, and when we're here, in verse number 68 and 69, I'm just going to let you know what your preacher will do. I with Peter will say, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know what? There were 12 pretty smart people. You know what? Even Judas there. Yeah, he was unsaved, but he knew. He knew the truth anyways. But the truth, man, there was 12 pretty smart people that was there. And they saw it all. Boy, what a following. What a great big day that they were having. But when the truth was revealed, many walked away. Jesus asked, will ye also go away? And Peter says, no, because I know I'm serving the living God. Let me tell you something tonight, church. Don't you ever let some charismatic, don't you ever let some other religion tell you anything different. We are serving the living God tonight. I stand here as sure as can be. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. We serve a risen Savior. We serve a living God. And I with Peter, when we are down here, what I'm going to do, I'm going to keep marching forward. When we're up here, I'm going to keep marching forward. But church, what will you do? Teenager, what will you do? The things that you hear preached, will you apply it? Or, I can't wait till this is over. What will you do? Will you also walk away, go away? Church member? Mom, dad? Times get tough in your home and there's a little bit more month than money. You just don't feel like, I don't see God's hand in this. Will you also walk away? Go away? Someone place a little bit of doubt in your mind. What are you going to do? When the tough times come, will you also go away? Our Heavenly Father. There's a lot I wanted to give tonight, but we got as far as we could go, Lord. God, I believe the truth was planted tonight, was conveyed, what you wanted done. I pray, dear God, that yes, we could be very excited and very thrilled, and we ought to be, for the great days that we've had here at the Faith Baptist Church. And we ought to be thrilled about that, to see what you're doing. But you know what? When we go through the valleys, and we will, we ought to also thank God that you're a God that is with us through that valley. Instead of bailing out on you, we ought to be the kind of person that we're going to bind together and we're going to go forward. We're not going to walk away. I pray that we'd have the attitude of a Peter when he was asked, will ye also go away? And he says, in essence, no, because I'm serving the living God. I know that thou art the living Christ. And this preacher right here tonight knows God, the God whom I preach. I know that you are the living God. And I pray, God, that you would place a hedge about me that I would never walk away, go away. I pray, God, that you give me the stick-to-itiveness and the desire and planted and have my feet planted, that I will just always stand true and stand strong for you. But also our church, dear church people, we need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, Savior Jesus Christ. I pray that when they face the valleys, when they face some turmoil, that they too will stand and not walk away. That's what the message is all about. Will ye also go away? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one's looking around. Let's stand to our feet. The music's going to play. I'm not exactly sure what to give for an invitation, but maybe you just got to reset a button tonight. Just press that reset button. I'm just going to stand like the Rock of Gibraltar. God, I have done that through the years, and God bless you. I don't know what the Holy Spirit's dealing with you about. Maybe you've been kind of wavering, whatever. Maybe you just got to seal some things tonight. Whatever it is, why don't you decide and make that decision tonight? The music's going to play. That's it. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for tonight, God. We thank you for your love and your goodness to us. We thank you for what we heard tonight. Thank you for your word, how precious it is. We thank you, Lord, for it being alive and being preserved and being perfect, God. And we thank you, God, for what we've learned tonight. And I just pray, dear God, that you'll help us to always stand strong. Even when the devil's winds blow against us, that we'll just stand. And having done all to stand, I pray, Father, that you just bless, give us safety this week, help us to get things done that we need.